Who's doing their homework?
Yeah. Y'all going to be like Stephen was up here. Stephen's like, well, I'm doing it, but I'm like on 12. It was 11? Okay, it was 11. So Stephen's on 11. Just let him know. Let y'all know. So if you want to give, who's on two? You? Yeah. Anyway, so Proverbs says, was it today's or yesterday's? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's right. So in light of that word, I'm just going to do what the word says, right? And I'm going to have a merry heart. So based on that, where do farmers buy their cows? Where do farmers buy their cows? Out of the catalog. Jody's still working on it. She's like, actually, Jody's caught up in the spirit. She's spiritual, and we're over here playing. So what does a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? Y'all should know this. What does a tick and the Eiffel Tower have in common? They're both parasites. Parasites. I thought that was pretty good. I really did. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Paris sites. The Eiffel Tower is a site in Paris, Joel, Jessica, and a termite is considered to be a parasite. Oh, tick. Tick's correct. Not a termite. Tick. Proverbs, no. Yes, no. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's go there. Everybody good this morning? We're going to get going and get rolling. Worship was good this morning. Hallelujah. Man, thank you, Lord. Let's just sit here for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Knees and ankles. Somebody got some knee and ankle problems. I know that's kind of a place I kind of go. Yeah, I figured you would. Knees and ankles. No, I wasn't talking to you. I was messing with Lisa back there. All right, well, y'all come on up. Knees and ankles, people. Stephen, get back up there wherever he went. Did he go? He went to the back, didn't he? Yeah. Carly, is Carly here? Yeah, Carly, just play us a little something. Knees and ankles. That's it. Y'all just kind of work with it, by the name of Jesus. Glory, glory. Amen, amen, amen. We believe that they're free, right? Can y'all believe with me? They're free in Jesus' name. Lisa just said, did you feel that? We don't go by feelings, but we'll take them. Yeah, we'll take them for sure. You go, Miss Allie. Yeah. That girl was on a walker not too long ago, so. We're good. I'm good. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Hallelujah. Oh, Miss Deborah. Hey, baby. All right. Y'all don't know. Everybody don't know Miss Deborah. Come here, baby. All right, Miss. All right. You are how old? Yes, you. 25? Didn't. She raised Logan and Izzy. She did. And they're 19. How long have you been at this church, baby? 20 years. 20 years at this church. This lady right here defines faithful. She sits on the... Oh, sorry. She sits on the front lines. That's in the nursery. That's what we call that. That's the front line of defense right there. She changes those babies' bottoms. She cleans them. She talks to them. She plays with them. She prays for them. She loves on them. This woman right here, y'all don't see her. This is, you know, we're the body of Christ. You know, you got hands and feet and arms and all that stuff. You got joints and ligaments too, and muscles and veins, things we don't even get to see that are essential that you have to have. Amen. That's this lady right here. So we're going to believe God. Amen. Amen. Y'all good with that? She does good work wiping them booties. They will not go home wet. They're going to have a clean diaper, I can promise you. And we make sure Joel has a clean diaper before he leaves every day too. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 3, are y'all there? Let's see, we're going to go to verse 5. Good one to start on. No, we're going to go to verse 3, Charles, actually. Verse 3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you, and to bind them around your neck, and write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and in the sight of man. You know, if we can take the time, we're doing homework, right? We're doing homework on purpose. We're doing our Proverbs on purpose because it's practical stuff for daily living in there. These are practical things that we're looking at. And if we'll take those deals and esteem them and let God begin to write them on the tables of our heart, look what happens. On the tablets of our heart, look what happens. We will find favor in verse 4 in high esteem, not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of man. Next thing you know, you'll find out that your reputation, as long as you're letting these things to penetrate your heart and you're actually doing what the word says, next thing you know, your reputation will turn to where men around you that may not even like you will at least say that you are a person of integrity and a person of your word. Even people that don't like you will at least say, well, one thing, they don't lie, and they're always going to do what they say they're going to do. How many of y'all have said that about folks before? They're going to do what they say they're going to do. That's the way that they are. And that's the way the Word wants us to be. That's what God needs us to be. In His eyes, we've received esteem and high favor through Jesus, and He is wanting that same esteem and high favor to show up in our daily lives. He would like for us to excel in every area of our lives. But to do that is just not magic. This ain't magic. This is called Christianity. We're believers. It's not magic. It takes faith to actually do a thing on a consistent basis to allow God to begin to work in our lives. Are y'all with me? If we do these things, if we allow Him to work in our lives, we will find favor and high esteem, not only with God, but on this earth. You'll find it on the earth. Next thing you know, you're getting a promotion at work. You're getting a callback on the job application that you put in 6 months ago. You find out that you say to your kids, I need you to do this, and they actually do it. I think we're all waiting on that one. We will find esteem and high favor not only with God, but with man too. So the daily read of the Proverbs is on purpose. It is on purpose to create in us and to put in us a space where God can start to put these secrets in there and also unlock what the Spirit has already placed in us. It's a beautiful process we're going through. I'm excited about it. Verse 5, trust in the Lord, how? With everything in your head. Be sure you do what you've always done. Trust in the Lord with everything in your mind. Study, study, study. Is that what it says? No. Trust in the Lord with what? All our heart. You know, there's a story we're going to look at here in a minute, maybe, about Mary and Martha. In fact, I think we're going to go ahead and go there now. I think that's what he wants to do. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let's go there. We hold your place in Proverbs 3. We're coming back. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, talking about Jesus, into her house. How would that be if Jesus came over to visit? It'd be cool. Guess what? He's in you. He's there every day you walk in. And she said to her sister, or no, she said she had a sister, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So here's the scenario. Jesus, disciples, they're going to come over and eat lunch today. All right? Over to Martha's house. She asked them, hey, y'all come on over? Sure, they come over. They get in the house, and Martha's thinking, you know, I'm gonna get everything set up, and we're going to have Jesus over. It's going to be a good deal, and I'm going to get plenty of help. I'm going to have help. And Jesus comes over. Next thing you know, Martha is kind of getting stuff together, and Mary is sitting at the foot of Jesus, listening to what he has to say. But Martha, see, she was distracted with much serving, because that's what you do when Jesus comes over. You got to make sure the food's ready, and you got to make sure that the house is together. You got to do those things, right? Am I wrong? I mean, when was the last time you had company over and you didn't like just kind of straighten up a little something? I mean, even if you have family over, you kind of, you know, you're going to kind of at least, you know, put some toilet paper out. You know, you do something. Right? Jesus came, and she was much servant. And she approached him to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? And that's the way you read it in the Bible. But she really went, hey, Lord, don't you even care that I'm doing all the right things that I'm supposed to do? Don't you care? It seems like you don't care. It certainly looks like you don't care. And I feel like you don't care. About y'all, but with me in my own personal life, sometimes I feel like God just really don't care. And I think I'm doing all the right stuff. I think I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. I mean, if you're going to have 12 men over, 13, if you're going to have them over, you got to feed them. Men eat a lot. Anybody ever watch The Hobbit? Y'all seen The Hobbit before? You know, talking about the movie The Hobbit, about Smaug and all that. Well, all of the dwarves come over to Bilbo Baggins' house. They ate all his food. He didn't have nothing left. I mean, they ate it all. Martha had men over to her house. I'm sure they were eating everything. They got to be hungry. Yeah, and let me, I got to help y'all with you. All right, so this, I had to do this, okay? I had to paint in my brain and make sure that my brain changed to where when I started thinking about Jesus, I didn't think of him as like the movies want you to see, you know? I mean, right, exactly. What I see in there is it's real life stuff. So Jesus and his guys didn't walk in and go, oh no, today, Martha, we are fasting for the Lord. We're going to be fasting for the Lord. We're not hungry at all. Not at all. Yeah, right. Yeah, everybody that portrays Jesus or his disciples is from Britain. In the old stuff. I think the newer stuff, they're starting to be a little bit more historical. Or hysterical, whichever one you want to use. And so anyhow, when I see this, I mean, these dudes are dirty. They probably don't smell good. And they're hungry. And so Martha is doing all the right things. I mean, let's think about this for a minute. She's not out of line. We give her a lot of flack. Let me read the rest of the story, and then I'll get into it. All right, and left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to come help me. So Martha says, look, get Mary to come help me because I got to get all the stuff together. We trying to cook some fish up in here, get y'all fed, and y'all in here all playing church, and I'm trying to get food ready. Not none of y'all, that's just the way I think, okay? And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried or troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha was doing what seemed to be the right things. And what seemed to be the right things in her doing got distracted away from the one thing. There is just one thing that is needed. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're dealing with in your life, whatever the situation might be that you're looking at, there is just one thing that's needed, and Mary chose that good part. And so what was the good part, Brett? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. Sometimes we have to stop. We just got to stop. I'll tell y'all the truth. In decisions that I make in life, the older I get, the slower I am to answer. I will take my time. You ask me a question, you might not hear back from me for a week. Or at least give me a couple of minutes to think about it. Why is that, Greg? Well, it's because the older I get, the more I realize how much I really don't know. And how much I really don't understand the full situation and what's going on with everything. The older I get, the more I start to see that I am flawed. And I really don't know what to do at all times. And I need to give my heart enough time to tell me what God has to say in that situation. Y'all remember Jesus, I can't remember what city he was in, but like the scribes and the Pharisees guys, which were the church people at the time, they had found this lady who was with a man that wasn't her husband. She was caught in adultery. Y'all remember her? And they pulled her out in the street. Now, the dude, they just left the dude wherever he was. They wasn't worried about him. They just going to pull the girl out and give her a hard time. So anyway, so they drug her out into the street, and they told Jesus. They thought they had him picked. They thought they had him, okay? It's like, now, this is the time. We got him. Because if he says that we can't stone her, then he's not following the law of Moses. But if he says, yeah, you go ahead and toss them rocks at that girl and you knock her out with them rocks and just leave her laying there like you post to, if he does that, then all this love stuff that he talks about, love thy neighbor as thyself, he ain't being right there neither. We got him. Let's get her out there in the street and see what happens. Go ahead, Jesus. Moses said we're supposed to throw rocks at that woman because she caught in adultery. But you teach love and love thy neighbor as yourself and all that stuff. So which one it gonna be? Y'all remember the story? Do you remember what Jesus did next? It said that he stooped down, what? And he wrote on the ground. And there's a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to talk about what he was writing on the ground. I don't think he was doing anything. I heard one preacher say he was playing tic-tac-toe with the Holy Ghost. That's the best one I ever heard. He playing tic-tac-toe with the Holy Ghost. He did not know what to do, and it don't matter what he wrote in the ground. That ain't the point of the story. The point of the story is that he gave his heart time to hear what God had to say. He took his time not to do what seemed like the thing you were supposed to do, but gave his heart time for God to tell him how to respond. And in his response, what did he say? He who was without sin, do what? And they all went home. Going, dang, we thought we had him on that one. Just because it looks like it's the thing that you're supposed to do, you still have to give it time for your heart. Let's look what Jesus actually said about Mary. Whenever he said that she had chose that good part in verse 42, he said in the Amplified, the Amplified puts it out this way: there is no need of only one but a few things. There's only one or but a few things that's really needed, Martha. This is Jesus responding to Martha in the Amplified. And he goes, Mary has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage. When we take a moment to lean not to our own understanding. Y'all go back to Proverbs chapter 3. When we take the moment to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, like Mary did, and lean not on our understanding, which Martha was trying to work in. Yeah, let me get y'all there. Trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. What's next? In all of your ways, acknowledge or experience him, and he will begin to direct your paths. Our answers will be the right answer at the right time. Our response will be the correct response at the right. How many of y'all have ever responded in the wrong way? I can tell you what. If you drive on the interstate on I-20, right there about the time whenever they're going to start doing that construction and they want to funnel you into one lane. Anybody ever been there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. That's a good place not to lean. It's a good place. It is a good place to pause and just let God lead you, you know. And you'll find yourself, I ran an experiment on me, because I go to Shreveport-Bossier pretty regular now. And so I did the experiment on me. So the way it all started, I was more like Martha. Like, I would get right up on folks and make sure nobody could get in, and just like, man, you know, I'm just like, I'm all over the place. I'm just all up in my flesh. Whatever. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Miss Michelle. I mean, I'm saying words that my mama ought not hear, you know? Just me, not y'all. I know y'all don't do nothing like that. It's just me. That's just me. And I won't let them in, you know? You know, you run up there and you're about 6 inches from the car in front of you. You hope they don't stop, because it's going to be bad, right? I did that for a little while. And I started feeling guilty about what I was doing, because my heart was like, man, this ain't right. So I ran a little experiment. I actually paused whenever people would pull up. You know, they're going to pull up like real fast. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a big long line of cars, but they're going to pull up real fast. And I paused, and I started to let people in and being sweet, you know, and waving. Do that. That'll throw them off. They'll look at you. You know, they'll look at you weird. Just wave at them. Hey, y'all. Hey, y'all. How's your mama? Good to see you. Let them in there. And I started doing this in my heart. I just felt so much better in my heart. But what really confirmed it for me, so I was with some friends of mine over in Shreveport, and they actually pulled up the state law on how you're supposed to do this thing. There's actually an ordinance and a law that says how you're supposed to do this thing. And the way you're supposed to do it is both lanes are supposed to stay in both lanes until you get up there and just the next car goes. Like a zipper is what you're supposed to do. But we don't do that because we're too busy being mad because somebody's trying to pull over in front of us and we want to go first. Right? So I actually am confirmed in my heart that just pausing and waving is the answer, you know, to the construction in I-20. Lean not to your own understanding, yet in all of your ways, what? Acknowledge or experience Him. It will be to your advantage. It will be to your advantage. It will be to your advantage. I think we take so much time, or not time, we take so much opportunity like Martha did. Like there's something that it's supposed to be done this way. This is the way you're supposed to do that. And don't just not ever do it, you know, you only do it like this. This is it. Whatever the thing may be. Instead of letting God teach us something new. Something real. John chapter 2. I'm going to get tired of hearing about these boys. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has yet not come." In verse 5, his mother answered and said to the servants, completely ignored Jesus, by the way, "Whatever he says to you, do it." In verse 6, There were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. It's a real simple thing. It's real simple. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's real simple. If he tells you to stop, stop. If he tells you to go, go. It's not rocket science. What happens, though, is this thing right here starts getting in the way. This thing right here pushes us to a Martha level, to where we want to say, Ron, we want to say, there ain't no way I'm going to put some water in those water pots. That's not why. They asked for wine. They didn't ask for water. That's just silly. I'm not going to do that. And do you know, by the way, Jesus, how much these things weigh? Things are 20, maybe 30 gallons a piece. Plus, they made out of stone. And to hold 20 or 30 gallons, that's a lot of rock holding a lot of stone. Or a lot of water, a lot of rock holding a lot of water. There it is. I finally got it out. There's a bunch in there. That's heavy, Jesus. It's hard. I ain't doing that. It's too hard. I ain't going to do that. I'll give you a prime example. Y'all ready? Chris Lewis, my buddy. Love Chris Lewis. Take a bullet for him. He had me over there at that new food pantry place. And he wanted some chipping paint scraped off a wall. And I got one of the little scrapers like you use on your grill. And I went to do that. I did about 2 seconds. I was like, that's just dumb. I ain't doing that. And I did a little more. I was like, man, Chris, come on, you know. But I start doing it, and the Lord says, well, whatever he says to do, just do it. And so I sat there and I scrubbed on that. It was hard, Stacy. I count money for a living. That's what I do. Bethany knows. I was in a bind, wasn't I? The people that was working and helping, I was in a bind. I count money is what I do. Every day, somebody else's money, I count it. And I don't even touch the currency myself. I just look at numbers on a screen. That's what I do every day. And this boy got me in there. And it ain't him. He being led by the Spirit because they trying to get something done over there. I show up because they need help to get something done. And the Holy Ghost goes, do what he says. Like this. And then I bent down on one knee. Oh, man. I didn't do worth a flip. He didn't fire me, but I'm probably not going to get asked back. But, you know, I did the best that I could. Yeah, you did get a sweat out of me. Yes, sir. One sweat. One drop of sweat right there. And I'm like, I'm done. I don't sweat. I just don't like to sweat. You see where I'm coming from? Sometimes God will ask you to do a little small thing that's really hard. It's really hard. And in your brain, you're going to go, you know, I ain't got time to go down there in that food pantry, scrape on a wall with a little scraper. Lord, I got this to do and that to do and this to do and that to do. We turn into Martha. And then next thing you know, we're caught up in every distraction we could possibly get our hands on, and nothing's getting accomplished in the spirit. Because if you pay attention to this story about Jesus turning the water to wine. In fact, in my Bible, it says in the rubric at the top, rubric's one of my favorite words, at the little rubric at the top, which is the heading, that little old heading says, Jesus turns water to wine. He didn't. Nowhere in there did it say that Jesus prayed over the water. He didn't put his toe in it and make it turn into wine. The miracle happened, the first miracle that he has, that we have record of, the first miracle that's performed in his presence, the first miracle, the first sign of what he's doing to say who he is brought to us by men doing what he said to do, and they produced the miracle. He didn't even touch it. My time has yet not come. And the woman looked at him, the woman looked at the servants and said, just do what he says. Whatever he says to you, just do that. My time has yet not come. He didn't touch it. You want to see miracles through your hands? You start doing what he tells you to do. Jesus is still working miracles every day, y'all, the same way he started. Just do what I say to do and watch God move. Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that we will purpose in ourselves to take our time to listen, to lean not on our own understanding, but in every way acknowledge you and allow you to direct our paths. Lord, lead us and guide us. Holy Ghost, we're asking you now to tell us every single day what we need to do, how we need to do. Show us the direction and the way to go. And Father, we know that as we begin to walk in your paths and in your ways, we'll see miracles, we'll see signs, and we'll see wonders. And you'll get all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody that agreed with that said, have a fantastic afternoon.